I think when we first made the decisions to reduce end strength and the budget was being reduced, we based that on some assumptions that we had. And one was peaceful Europe. One was we were done with the Iraq war. One was that, you know, potentially the commitments that we would have would be reduced. And so what we've seen play out in front of us now is all of those assumptions, frankly, have not come true. And so based on that, I think it's time for us to really rethink what we're doing. And I think it's important to have a discussion about the defense budget, what we want our forces to look like, so we continue to be able to deter and meet our commitments that we have around the world.
You have about 510,000 troops right now and plans to go down to 450,000. What can you do at current levels that you wouldn't be able to do if that happens?
Well, what people don't understand is as you increase your commitments, you increase the number of soldiers that are out there. You know, we have right now, probably about 150,000 that are either deployed on a commitment or stationed overseas in order to build stability around the world. And you have to do that, plus you have to be able to sustain readiness. So what I worry about is we can't do both. Either we're going to have our soldiers all committed, or we got to do training. We can't. So as you reduce 60,000, that makes it more difficult to sustain a level of readiness that enables them to do their job. And I very worry about we can't send soldiers on commitments without them being prepared to do their job.
And recent events have shown that you can't predict the future. If another crisis somewhere else in the world were to happen, and we had 450,000 troops, could we get involved?
Well, it depends on how big they are. But that's the other thing, I think, and how long they last. See, the issue is these are going to last some time. I think us dealing with aggression in Europe is going to last a while. This problem with ISIS is going to last a while. We continue the issues in Korea are going to last a while. So if we add another one to that, we probably wouldn't be able to do it. In fact, we might have trouble doing the ones we have for long periods of time, even now. And so I think that's what I worry about. And again, it goes back to readiness. It really goes back to having the time to make sure the young men and women we're going to send on these missions are prepared. That's my responsibility, and that's why I'm raising some concern now.
You're calling for a national debate about this. Do you have a sense that a debate is happening? It's an election year, and there are topics like this that are on the minds of voters.
Well, I hope so. I think, we've been focused on sequestration and budget. That's a debate that encompasses all governmental programs. So when we talk about let's have a debate on sequestration, it's bigger than just military sequestration. It affects all parts of the government. So I think we have to understand, what do we want our national security capabilities to do? And what do we think they're going to be asked to do in the future? And I think we have to talk about that, because I believe that the investments that we need to make need to be a bit higher than they are now. You know, we've already cut $1 trillion out of the defense budget. So it's not like we have not cut. We have done that. We want to cut more. I think it's time for us to review that and really decide, you know, with the instability around the world, maybe we need to relook that.
You and all of the military leaders have been on Capitol Hill continuously since sequestration became the law of the land, yeah, Asking Congress to do something about it. In a few minutes, you're going to be talking to members and their staff. What more can you say to persuade people?
Well, again, I think it's just a matter of them understanding that this is team. They provide us the monies for us to do our job, and we have to keep talking to them that we're concerned that we are not getting the dollars necessary to provide the defense that this nation needs in order for us to maintain our own national security. And I think we have to keep having that discussion. And what I found, having a lot of experience here, is if you keep talking about it, keep having these discussions, you continue to make progress, and that's what we have to do.
You also have troops deployed to West Africa to help cope with the Ebola virus. One of the concerns that some in the Senate have voiced is that no one is immune to catching the virus, and we've seen other aid workers coming back to the United States with the disease. What are some of the precautions you're taking with the Army?
Well, first off, I would say that the plan now is for our soldiers not to come in direct contact with any of the patients. We are there to provide infrastructure, build places where others can come in and help. But that said, we are conducting training, pre-deployment training, that make sure they're educated on what they can and can't do, how they protect themselves, what they need to look out for. We're giving them the equipment necessary to protect them if they get in certain situations. So I feel very confident that we have spent a lot of time doing that because we want to reassure them and our families as well that we're going to do everything we can to protect our soldiers. And I'm confident that we're going to do that. And even once they get there, we'll continue to update them, continue to train them, continue to make sure that they understand how to protect themselves. And so we're very focused on that because obviously their health and welfare is very important to us.